Welcome to the Mama Needs a Moment podcast. We're your hosts, Chrissy
and Cindy,
co-founders of Her Health Collective.
We are two moms obsessed with revolutionizing the way moms take care of themselves. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. As we continue to evolve further into a digital age of smartphones, social media, apps, and artificial intelligence, parents grow more and more unsure of how to guide their children. As parents, we are treading in uncharted waters of the effects a child's digital blueprint can have on their lives, as well as the long-term effects of the extended use of digital technology. Julie Fisher is an educational consultant and coach who focuses on helping parents navigate the complicated task of balancing the digital world with the real one. She is a former teacher and has a background as an executive director of the nonprofit organization BBFA, which stands for Building Better Families for Action. She created specialized curriculum and led educational programs for both parents and students that gave them answers to real-life questions about tech and social media use. She is an author, keynote speaker, and a digital coach with private clients. She also works with businesses. Julie helps parents cope with the chaos that comes from parenting digital kids by offering realistic solutions to help manage family tech use, keep kids safe online, and ensure that kids' past posts don't hurt their future. Here's more of our conversation with Julie.
So up to this point, we've painted a very scary negative picture of technology and smartphones and social media. And in a lot of ways, these tools and this technology has been demonized by parents for good reason, for all the things we just talked about. They come with a host of issues that we're really just now beginning to grapple with because it is such a new technology. Yet, call me a little bit Pollyanna. I like to believe that every rose has its thorn. In this case, every thorn has a rose attached to it somewhere. Every technology has its flaws, but also comes with benefits. Could you unpack for us some of the benefits you see for youth when it comes to social media and smartphones? Obviously, we know benefits like we kind of touched on with parents being able to reach their kids, or if they're at practice, they need to be picked up and send kind of those types of things. But beyond that, are there layers of benefits that maybe we aren't seeing in our initial critique of these technologies? Or in your opinion, is it all bad and something we simply need to keep out of our kids' hands for as long as possible?
Let's talk about benefits. So I think social media provides kids who would otherwise be very isolated with community. And as we think about youth mental health, finding your community is such an important component, finding other people who understand what you're going through, where maybe nobody where you live does, staying connected. So being able to stay connected with family and friends, I think is huge. My kids, they know what's going on with everybody they went to high school with. I don't. I mean, you know, I'll go to a reunion once.
I don't know if that's good or not, but
I don't know if it's good or bad, but they just kind of know they're on top of it. And while those connections might not be deep, it's kind of nice to check in every so often or see when somebody has, you know, something wonderful happening in their lives, or know when somebody has lost someone that you wouldn't otherwise have gotten a call about, but you knew this person or whatever. So that kind of staying connected, I think, is really a benefit. Skill building, problem solving, critical thinking, hand-eye coordination, especially when it comes to gaming. There's some great things that gaming does for us in terms of mental acuity and hand-eye coordination. Creativity and learning opportunities that kids wouldn't otherwise have. The way kids can express themselves online is amazing. And I think just device-wise, in terms of benefits, the ability to know where your child is as a parent is certainly helpful. You know, when I was growing up, I left the house. My parents had no way to get in touch with me, you know, which is, from my point of view, very nice. I would, you know, as a parent today, not so nice. You know, I think in smartphones, having the ability to put in critical information about your child for a first responder. So if something had happened to us when we were younger and, you know, we passed out, we got injured and we had an allergy or a condition, there would be no way for a first responder to know that, nor would there be a way for a first responder to know how to get in touch with our parents. Today, if you use the in case of emergency feature built into every smartphone, when your phone is locked, they can tap one button on that lock screen and get all that information. I think that is a huge safety thing. The stuff where kids are walking by themselves and can highlight where they are or alert authorities if they feel threatened, that kind of stuff, you know, those are all really, really good things. So there's a lot of good, there's a lot of fear. And so much of that changes when we educate ourselves and when we stop listening to the noise from all of these other people out there talking about all these really scary things. And we have a plan in place to help our kids learn.
I'm so glad you went through the benefits, because you're right. I get very hyper-focused on the negative and being able to control it and protect them, that I don't think about the benefits as often. So I greatly appreciate you going through them. I have to admit that my husband and I have been struggling for a while with the use of electronics in our house. One of our children is slightly obsessed with electronics. And this has been for a long time, since she started watching shows as a youngster. And now that she's older, she actually will attempt to schedule activities around the times that she knows she's allowed to use her technology. So if left to her own choices, I'm not sure that she would actually get sick of it. And so we feel we have to restrict it. So that's kind of a double-edged sword there. The more you restrict, the more they want. But if we let her have it whenever she wants, I don't think she would really get sick of it and get off of it. So anyway, we are in the throe of it with a 13-year-old and a 10.5-year-old.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's all new. It's all new. I mean, it shifts every few years. Even my sister, who has a little bit older kids, it's different. Yeah. But we feel, at least I do, I feel so lonely in the battle of it, because everyone has such different perspectives on how to implement the use of electronics in their families.
And judgy.
Parents and judgy.
Judgy. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I've been thankfully our community, I've shared a lot with our community, and they have not passed judgment on any of the choices that I've made. And actually they look to me because I had some of the older kids in our community. And so they kind of will watch what I'm doing with them. No pressure at all in that regard, but it's a battle every single day. Especially right now, we're recording this in the middle of the summer. It's so hard to try to regulate electronics in the summer. We've tried implementing timeframes. We've tried schedules. We've tried so many things for device use. We've pushed back on our teen, our 13-year-old getting a phone. And finally, like we had talked about before, there's reasons why we don't have a landline. She's going into eighth grade. She needed to talk to friends. She needed to communicate. Mm-hmm. And I thought back to when I was in middle school, I would talk to my friends all the time on the phone, you know, with the dial, the rotary.
I had the long cord.
Yes, the long cord. Yes. And so, and then you'd pick up, someone would pick up, oh, you're on again. You know, that type of.
Well, that was the time where you did the emergency breakthroughs.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those?
I don't.
You'd get a busy signal. I'm showing my age. Before call waiting.
Yeah.
You'd get a busy signal, and then you would call the operator, and he would say, "I need to do an emergency breakthrough with this number," and then the operator would break in. I have, you know, Julie, who needs to do an emergency breakthrough. Will you?
I didn't know that was possible.
I think it's a good thing I didn't know that was possible, because I grew up in that time frame where there was no call waiting. You'd get the busy signal and you'd crash the phone down, and then you'd pick it back up and you try again until you could get through. I didn't know.
Emergency breakthroughs.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Don't do that. Don't teach your kids that.
No, I won't teach them. But one thing that I'm really excited about is that you created a digital parenting program called Control the Chaos. Just the name itself pulls me in because it's a lot of chaos.
It is.
And you work one-on-one with clients to create a roadmap to managing their family's tech use. It all sounds absolutely amazing. Do you have suggestions on designing a roadmap that a family can implement right away that will make their lives easier around the tech battle, regardless of how they are personally using technology in their household? She's like, no, I don't have any. Everyone's so different.
Yeah, no, and I do this privately with clients. I also do it in small groups. So like a group of, you know, women would get together with their girlfriends and, you know, bounce things off each other. Cause yeah. I think sometimes that's helpful when you have kind of your tribe and you're all kind of in this together. So you don't feel like you're out on an island. But I think the first thing I like to do with parents is I like to say, please remind yourself, parenting today is so much harder than it used to be. It's so much harder than it was for our parents. And so we have to cut ourselves some slack and change these ideas about what parenting should look like and accept how it does look like and be okay with where we are. I think after that, thinking about our own relationship with technology, because how we view technology, whether it's fear-based or whether it's, I can't put it down myself, you know, I'm nomophobic. And the moment I put my phone down, I start to get shaky if I don't have it within, you know, arm's reach. You know, next, I think on the journey is, what's tech balance look like to you? Because there's no one answer, one size fits all. So you're struggling with your 13-year-old and balance. You know, your idea of what balance might look like might be very different than somebody who has an 8-year-old. And is trying to figure out tech balance because at 8, it's much easier to restrict and that sort of thing. You know, committing to be a solid role model. So if you're saying no phones at dinner, but you're having phones at dinner, that becomes a problem because our kids are watching us. So again, when you think about having realistic expectations, what can you do that isn't going to upend your own life in terms of making changes? Thinking about our own control issues. And you had brought that up a second ago. So as a parent, I want to see everything my kid's doing online. I want to see every keystroke. I want to see every text. I want to see who they're talking to and what the person is saying back. Do I need to see everything? Probably not. So again, recognizing that difference between need and want. And, you know, we've got all this noise coming in and, you know, these experts telling us you've got to see everything or you've got to restrict social media. Or you can't get your kid a phone at all, or you have to wait till they're 15 or the wait till 13 movement, and, you know, the wait till 8, I think the 8th grade thing. It messes with our brains. The moment you accept that you need to say yes to technology kind of changes your mindset. So if your go-to is always no, you are missing the opportunity. And frankly, you are not doing your job as a parent to teach your child how to use tech safely and appropriately.
Oh, yikes.
That's our job. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be taught in school. You certainly don't want them being taught by their friends. Right. You don't want them being taught on somebody else's device online and, you know, on TikTok or whatever. So when you say no, you are really inviting them to find a workaround. So find ways to say yes. Get yourself educated. Stop listening again to all that noise that we see on social media as moms. Or as dads, I would say, make sure that you get yourself a comprehensive and personalized family technology plan. So you know what your rules are. You know how you define appropriate and inappropriate. We often say to our kids, don't post anything inappropriate. What in the world does that mean? What you think is appropriate versus what I think is appropriate can be two different things. So not only do we have to be very specific in our language, we actually have to show our kids what we mean. They're sitting down. Okay, so this girl on the beach is okay, and this girl on the beach is not okay. And this is why, because they don't understand. Our kids are very visual in a way that you know, we were raised without all of these images. Our kids are bombarded by images. I'll go back to that talk early and talk often. There, you will never be done talking about technology. Even when your kids are out of your house in college in their 20s, you still have to be talking about technology. Hey, that picture you posted from that party the other night when you were out, and by the way, you're over 21, still not okay, because you could be looking for a job down the road. You know, that sort of thing. And then being open to the fact that you have to evolve and your rules have to evolve for your kids as they age. So if you think about, you know, you don't want your child to have a phone right away. And so now your child's going into eighth grade and you're thinking, okay, I think maybe it's time that they get a phone. If you haven't had all these conversations, you've missed out on all of these years of learning. If you wait until they're 13 or 14 and you don't start having those conversations till they get the device, again, it is your job to teach them how to be online safely and appropriately and how to protect their own digital footprint and online reputation. And so for those parents, I was reading about, there are some stars from HGTV who are starting a new movement to not allow their kids on social media at all. So now you're going to have this group of parents whose kids, well, I'm not letting my child on social media or communicate digitally, so I don't have to teach it because they're not allowed. I think you are sticking your head in the sand and trying to fool yourself into thinking your child is going to follow those rules and not get online. And by the way, your kid is going to come of age in a digital world. You are not giving them the skills and the tools that they need to succeed in that world. You're dropping the ball.
To our Patreon supporters, thank you. We appreciate you so much. Our goal has always been for moms to know they're not alone in the tough and challenging phases of motherhood. We know Mama Needs a Moment provides this to our listeners.
We are thrilled with the growth of the podcast over the past 2 years. Last year, Spotify shared that Mama Needs a Moment was in the top 30% most followed podcasts, was heard in 9 countries, and had more content than 97% of other creators in the family category.
We have recently launched a Patreon account for Mama Needs a Moment. This is a great way for you to provide additional support to Her Health Collective.
We've set up 3 options for Patreon supporters, each with its very own perks, such as special events, discounts, and bonus content from each and every podcast guest that is available only to our Patreon supporters.
Will you become a Patreon supporter? It would mean the world to us.
But I would say, you know, those 10 kind of ideas are the roadmap to getting to control the chaos and being okay and comfortable that you got this. You can deal with the mistakes, you can address your concerns, and you can do your job and make sure your kids become responsible digital citizens.
Oh, fantastic. Those are all wonderful, wonderful suggestions. My one question to you is, as a follow-up to that, let's say a parent doesn't really know how to start with making their digital plan. Is it best for them to work with someone with your background? Is there a book that they should look at? Is there someone online that they could follow? Where do you point someone to begin with that?
So templates out there that are free. There are others that are, you know, more involved. You can work with me if you want a super personalized one. You can download my, I think it's, I don't know, $12 or whatever, do-it-yourself version, which gives you some lessons and gives you a full template to personalize on your own. A lot of them are kind of cell phone contracts out there. What I do with families is a full family technology plan that addresses all kinds of technology use, outlines what you need to do, what your child needs to do, provides talking points for how to talk to your kids at different ages. There's an Instagram right now. I've got, and I guess on TikTok too, a free guide. I think it's about 100 and something pages of how to talk to your child about everything related to online use when they are in elementary school, when they're in middle school, and when they're in high school, and lots of ways to start those conversations. So there are different options depending on how much guidance you want and how much you think you can do it on your own.
Fantastic. Thank you. And you've confirmed something that I think a lot of people felt, but we were like, are we just making this up? That parenting is harder now than it used to be. I find myself saying things like, when I was young, I didn't have a phone to, you know, and then I think back to when my mom and dad were growing up and how they are like, I used to walk 2 miles to the local grocery store. You know, it's just kind of comical to hear how it's
harder today. It is much harder today. You came home, you were in your bedroom at night and predators couldn't reach you. You were safe in your bedroom. Today, those people are coming into our children's bedrooms.
Speaking of that, I am on a Facebook group where I'm sometimes overwhelmed at the number of parents sharing that their child has been sending nude photographs back and forth with a boyfriend or girlfriend. And the age is typically pretty young, my 11-year-old, my 12-year-old. In some cases, those images have gotten out. In others, they haven't. The parent just became aware of it, that the photos exist. But without fail, someone in the comments will mention that in many states, this could qualify as child pornography, and that the child who took the photo of themselves could potentially get in legal trouble, as could the parents if they were aware of the photos. I find this very distressing. The age of these kids is often mind-blowing to me. They are young. They clearly don't understand the ramifications of what they are doing. As I mentioned, I'm a former high school teacher, and I know firsthand the impulsivity that preteens and teens often march through life with. Do you have advice for a parent that is confronted with a situation like this, similar to this in some way? What steps can a parent take to protect their child if they've truly shared something distressing online?
So this is a great question. And again, this is often, unfortunately, a way that I end up with clients through sextortion. And by the way, I have more boys who are sharing these images than girls. And a lot of people think it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. A lot of these predators are targeting boys. And so the first thing you want to do is you want to get support for both you and your child. So you want to find somebody out there to help kind of help you navigate through this. Somebody your child can talk to where they feel it's safe and that's not necessarily you. Frequently it happens because you haven't talked to your child about the potential for this happening because nobody wants to have this conversation. And so often parents aren't talking to their kids about what to look for, what the red flags are before it happens. So they don't recognize it. And then it happens. And then the kid gets the message, if you don't, you know, send me money, whatever it is, gift cards, you name it, I'm going to share these images online. I'm going to publish them. And the kid gets scared. And so they send money, you know, there's this whole elaborate thing that happens. So help and support, immediately stop the chat, take screenshots of what this person is saying, block the account, report what's going on to the authorities, never pay. Once you pay, they've got you as they keep coming back to you. Don't send more images. Don't respond to any demands. Don't engage in further communication with this person. And don't think you're alone. It happens to a lot more people than you realize. So before your kid is online, you need to talk to them about not connecting with anybody they don't know in real life and that they can't verify is the person, you know, because people spoof other people's profiles. So they have to be able to verify they're talking to somebody they actually know in real life. Remind them repeatedly, again, once you make something digital, you can't get it back. And both with boys and girls, you've got to talk about grooming and sextortion. You can get a free guide to how to do this, again, through like Instagram with me. You just message me sextortion and you'll get a large guide about how to deal with this. But, you know, what I will tell you is the child who sent it is not going to be charged with pornography. Now, what often happens is if somebody they know, the image could be shared with somebody they know, and sometimes that person will then disseminate it to everybody at school because they think it's funny. So that person could be charged with distributing child pornography. We all know from all of these people who've gotten in trouble because they have images on their devices that you can be charged with possessing child pornography if you keep them on your device. So if somebody sends you something, you have to delete it. Don't forward it. Make sure you tell me, your parent, that this happened. And don't forget to delete it from the cloud, because a lot of us have our photos that automatically back up to the cloud. And then obviously, you know, you want to report what's going on. But again, tell your kid, if this happens, you are not going to get in trouble. And, you know, we'll discuss later about appropriate sharing. But for now, my job is to help you get through this. And it's going to be painful for the parent and painful for the kid. But you got to think about your kid's mental well-being first, because there are way too many kids who have gone to self-injury, all kinds of stuff as a result, because they don't feel they have anybody to turn to.
Yeah. And in line with that, I've mentioned earlier, cyberbullying being something that's just front and center in my mind a lot. We had a lot of trainings on it when I was teaching. It's prevalent. It's the new form of bullying. It's how it's done now. It's not done in the classroom or, you know, via notes across the cafeteria. It's done digitally.
It's digital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have suggested resources, action steps, experts to speak to? Do you have resources yourself if a child is either being cyberbullied or has been engaging in bullying online themselves?
So I have four things that I tell kids and families. So first of all, remind your kids manners matter online, that the golden rule, you know, it's still there online. If you see something, you need to say something. If you have a friend who is being bullied, but they don't have a safe adult they can tell, be an upstander and tell an adult for them. And I think one of the things we have to remember when it comes to digital communication is it's really easy to be misunderstood online. And we are very quick to use the term bully. Not everything is bullying. There is intention behind bullying. Sometimes kids are just mean. They're not doing it with intention to be mean, but it's taken that way. We forget that when we use digital words, there is no expression. There's no tone. You can't hear that. You can't see the smile on my face as I'm typing this snarky comment. So you're just seeing the words on the other end. And our kids are very quick to say, oh, well, this person is bullying me. This person might be a good friend in real life, but now things have exploded very quickly because the other person feels bullied. So if you feel bullied by a person you actually know who is a friend, I like to tell kids and parents, make sure you get in touch with that person to say, hey, what you sent made me feel bad. Or did you mean to send it? Because this is how I took it. And if the kid is being a jerk, then okay, that's bullying. But otherwise, cut your friend a little slack and accept the fact that we all misunderstand things online. And so their intention, you may be receiving it different from how they intended you to receive it. And we have to remember that, not to jump to conclusions right away that everything is bullying. And I do have resources online. And again, you know, a free booklet that people can get.
There's some conflicting advice for parents from coaches on the use of parental controls on their devices. We went into this very slightly before, talking about when you restrict more, they want more, et cetera. Will you please run through some of the resources you feel are beneficial for parents to use? And what is your opinion on the use of parental controls on electronic devices? A huge shout out to our Patreon subscribers. Your support truly means the world to us. Thanks to you, we are able to continue the weekly production of Mama Needs a Moment and getting this valuable information from these incredible guests out to you, our listeners. This final question has been recorded as a mini bonus episode and is available for our Patreon subscribers to go listen to right now. Take a moment to hear Julie run through some resources she feels are beneficial for parents to use, and you'll also hear Julie's opinion on the use of parental controls on electronic devices. Patreon subscribers, be sure to log into your account and have a listen. This has been amazing. It's been really wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
The information that Julie shared was invaluable.
please make sure you head over to her website and social media pages to utilize the free resources she mentioned within the episode. Here are our three takeaways for our talk with Julie. Number one, we asked Julie to share some of the benefits of technology. She shared that technology provides kids who would otherwise be very isolated with community. It provides the ability to stay connected with family and friends. Technology offers skill building, problem solving, critical thinking, hand-eye coordination, and this is especially when it comes to gaming. There are benefits with gaming in terms of mental acuity and hand-eye coordination. Technology provides creativity and learning opportunities that kids wouldn't otherwise have. It also gives kids a way to express themselves. Julie stressed that devices offer parents the ability to know where their child is and provides the ability to put in critical information about their child for a first responder. Responders can use the In Case of Emergency feature built into every smartphone to get emergency information. Number two, when creating a technology roadmap for your family, Julie outlined some ideas that could be implemented right away. She prefaced her suggestions by stressing the importance of reminding ourselves that parenting today is so much harder than it used to be, and it's so much harder than it was for our parents. Whew, we have to cut ourselves some slack and change these ideas about what parenting should look like and accept how it does look and be okay with where we are. When creating a tech roadmap, begin by thinking about our own relationship with technology and the importance of being a role model for our kids. The next piece of the journey is to determine what tech balance looks like for us and our family. There's no one answer or one size fits all. It's extremely important to put into your roadmap the need to teach your child how to use technology safely and appropriately. And this is by talking early and talking often. Find ways to say yes to technology by getting educated and stop listening to all the noise that we see on social media and that we hear around us. Julie also encouraged parents to make sure that we get ourselves a comprehensive and personalized family technology plan. She said this will help us to know what our rules are. It will help us define appropriate and inappropriate technology use for our children. Parents need to be very specific in our language when talking to kids and actually show our kids what we mean. Number three, if you find out that your child has shared something distressing online, Julie offered steps a parent can take to protect their child. Parents need to talk to their kids about what to look for and what the red flags are before it happens, and especially before your child is even online. Kids need to understand that they should not connect with anybody they don't know in real life and that they can't verify the person is someone they know. People spoof other people's profiles. As a parent, you need to help and support your child by immediately stopping the chat, taking screenshots of what the person is saying, block the account, and report what's going on to the authorities. Make sure no more messages or images are being sent. Don't respond to any demands. Don't engage in further communication with the person. If someone has sent distressing material to your child, delete it, don't forward it, and don't forget to delete it from the cloud. If the child has been interacting with someone and it has moved into a situation where you're dealing with sextortion, never pay. Once you pay, they've got you, and they will keep coming back to you. And finally, Julie stressed that it's important to think about your child's mental well-being first. Remind your child, if mistakes happen, they won't get into trouble. Further discussions will occur around the situation as well as around appropriate sharing. But first and foremost, our job as a parent is to help our kids get through the difficult situation. We need to be a safe space for our kids so they know they have someone to turn to.
High five, friend. We've enjoyed hanging out with you. Follow us so you're the first to know when we drop a new episode.
If you've enjoyed your time with us, let us know by leaving a review. We always love hearing from you. Until next time, stay
stay true to you.